Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pair to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet no one along the way. To whatever house you enter, say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it and say, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On this feast of St. Luke the Evangelist, it's very important for us to ponder how great was his life and to learn from his life a little bit of what the Lord's asking for our own life. St. Luke was a doctor. St. Paul refers to him in his letter to the Colossians as Luke, the beloved physician. I believe he was a young doctor in Antioch when he came to the faith. He was a Greek Jew, it seems, by the way that he wrote his two great books, the Gospel of St. Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. It was there that he would have met St. Paul. Eventually gave up his medical career to accompany St. Paul on his missionary journeys. The Acts of the Apostles, that seemed to have happened in Troas, which is the last place in Asia where Paul was preaching, right before he took the gospel over to Europe. That's when the Acts of the Apostles changes from a third-person description of all that St. Paul was doing, or St. Peter was doing, or the church in other areas was doing, to the use of the word "we," because he started to accompany Paul from that point forward. He accompanied Paul to the end. We have today's first reading when St. Paul was written with his hands chained to walls in Rome, a letter to Timothy, and he said right off the bat, "Luke is the only one with me." He was St. Paul's faithful co-worker. And even though he was a brilliant doctor, you can tell how bright he was by the complexity of his Greek and the real beauty of his eloquence. Even though he was a genius doctor, he put that all aside in order to humbly accompany St. Paul and help St. Paul fulfill his vocation to preach the gospel to all the nations. But eventually Paul died. St. Luke was bursting with the desire to share the faith in Jesus. So he wrote two books to a man named Theophilus. Theophilus very easily could have been a figure named Theophilus. My identical twin brother's confirmation name is Theophilus. People are named Teofilo to this day. Could have been just a Theophilus, but that name Theophilus means God lover. Someone who loves God. So it could have been to write to anyone who at any time would love God. But regardless, it is absolutely certain that when St. Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, decided to write first the Gospel of St. Luke, and then afterward the sequel, the Acts of the Apostles, that he would have never guessed that billions of people would have read his work, and that 2,000 years later, we would be proclaiming it in the liturgy here on his feast day. He just wanted to share the faith with others. The response to our psalm today was, "Your friends, O Lord, make known the glorious splendors of your kingdom." And that's precisely what St. Luke did. As a friend of the Lord, he made known the kingdom's glorious splendors. At the beginning of his gospel, he said the reason why. He said that after accounting all the other sources, he wanted to review, to look at all of the what had been written about Jesus from scratch so that he would be able to present an orderly account to Theophilus so that Theophilus might have certainty in the faith. St. Luke organized all that he had heard, all that he had heard from St. Paul's lips, all that he had heard from the other early disciples who had known Jesus personally, into an orderly account. It's absolutely certain over the course of this that he would have met the Blessed Virgin Mary, because it was only through that that he would have known what he gave to us, for example, about the Annunciation. If he hadn't heard it from Mary's own lips, how would he have known the details of that dialogue? And so much in St. Luke's orderly account, we would have never known if it weren't for his hard work in putting it down. We would have never learned about John the Baptist's miraculous conception and birth. We would have never heard about the Annunciation or the Visitation or the presentation of Jesus in the temple or the finding of Jesus in the temple. We would have never heard various of the scenes in Jesus' public ministry, the raising of the only son of the widow of Nain. We would have never heard ever the parable of the Good Samaritan or the parable of the prodigal son or of the lost sheep or of the lost coin or of Dives and Lazarus or of the importune woman or of the importune neighbor banging on the judge's door. We would have never heard three of Jesus' words from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise," as he said to the good thief. "And Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." There's so much we would have never known if St. Luke didn't correspond to God's grace in order to be able to write it down, first for a friend, and then in the Lord's wisdom for billions of others. But this feast day of St. Luke is not just a day in which we venerate him and thank God for him. It's an opportunity for us to ponder how we're supposed to be in our own circumstances like Luke. None of us is ever going to be an evangelist in the sense that one of our writings will be incorporated into the Bible. But we're all called to be evangelists insofar as the Lord is summoning each of us to spread the faith to others. If we're the Lord's true friend, we will tell of the glorious splendor of his kingdom. Pope Francis has been insisting on this point in his beautiful exhortation last November, which again, because you're good Catholics, you will have read at least twice by now, and hungry to read at least a third time because you can't remember it all and act on it all. But if we're a good Catholic, we don't ignore love letters given to us by our fathers or our mothers. In that beautiful apostolic exhortation, Pope Francis asks, if we've really experienced the love of the Lord, how can we possibly not share that love with others? He says, we are convinced that it's not the same as to walk with Jesus, to not walk with him. To be a friend of Jesus is to go through life alone. To experience his mercy is not to experience it. He said, this is the fundamental reason why we evangelize, because we know that Jesus makes a difference. He's made an enormous impact in our life, and we want others to have that same joy. That's why we spread the faith. That's why St. Luke put so much time into writing down what he did for a friend. And we should sense that we're called to a similar effort. St. Luke wasn't initially a born evangelist. He was a doctor. But he recognized that something was even more important than healing people physically. He recognized that people needed the medicine of immortality. And he helped St. Paul bring that cure to the whole ancient world. And then after, through his writing, he consolidated that great work. How are we supposed to do that? We don't have to become a professional evangelist to do it. In the midst of our ordinary life, that's how the Lord's calling us to spread the faith, to evangelize others. It's through our conversations with family members and friends and co-workers and fellow students that we start to spread the faith. It's through our letters, just like St. Luke wrote a letter, that we can spread the faith. It's also through our emails, through our Facebook posts. But most importantly, it's through the way that we live. It's the way that we proclaim the gospel by body language. That's what Jesus was getting to in today's gospel. Again, this is one of the scenes that we only have from St. Luke. St. Matthew and St. Mark describe how Jesus sent out the 12, the apostles, the first clergy. St. Luke remembers that Jesus sent out the 72, 12 of the apostles, and 60 what we'd call lay people who were sent out in order to proclaim the faith. And in it, Jesus gave some instructions which are very important. Basically saying if we're going to proclaim the gospel credibly, we have to be walking the walk so that people will be able to believe the message. He says, carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. How can we ever possibly proclaim that God providentially loves us and cares for us in the little details more than the lilies of the field and the sparrows in the sky if we're constantly trying to keep money on us so that we'd have a backup plan in case the gospel's a total lie? And I always say we can't preach the gospel to the poor in a beamer. We need to be poor if we're going to be able to proclaim it. And that's why Jesus was given this instruction. Later, he says, enter household saying peace to this household. The only way we can offer the Lord's peace is if we've been inundated with that peace. Later on, he says, stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you. Don't move about from one house to another. We shouldn't be looking for better accommodations. We should always be grateful for what's there, because you're never going to be able to proclaim the gospel that the Lord cares for us. Again, if you're constantly seeking to climb. At the end, he says, care for the sick, cure them, and say, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. That kingdom brings healing. And the greatest healings are not of leprosy or Ebola or AIDS. The greatest healings are for the greatest sicknesses. So often, that is the sickness of alienation from God, where we feel abandoned, where we feel lost in the cosmos. The illness of sin, we're able to bring the message of that healing and show people the means. Unless we're living in the kingdom, we're never going to be effective announcers of that kingdom. And that's what Jesus was describing, how important it is for us to do. So there are all types of ways that we do this, and we need to ask as Catholics, are we proclaiming by the way that we live that the faith is good news rather than bad? Do we show the joy of our faith? Do we get excited to come to Mass? Do we get excited to pray? Do we think that the Ten Commandments really train us to love, or do we look at them as straitjackets and burdens? If the message that we're preaching to others is that the faith is just hard, dutiful, bad news rather than good news, how are others going to be able to come to experience it? But we need to put in a little work here. We always do. St. Luke didn't sit down once St. Paul died and wrote the whole gospel. He had to study it. He had to investigate all those first sources so that he'd be able to present them anew in a way that he knew would be credible to Theophilus. In the same way for us, we need to study the faith if we're ever going to be able to share it with others. We've got to have a love for God and a love for others that we recognize that what would please God most, what would help others most, is that we detail the glorious splendors of the Lord's kingdom. The largest section of St. Luke's gospel, like the two other synoptic evangelists, Mark and Matthew, is his description of the last days of Jesus. When he wrote about the Last Supper, he wrote about the crucifixion, he wrote about the resurrection and the post-resurrection appearances. It was then that St. Luke described the meticulousness with which Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. It's there that he gave us the words we will be saying today. This is my body given for you. This cup is the cup of my blood shed for you. But it's also here that he alone told us what Jesus said before he celebrated that mass. He said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. Jesus has eagerly desired to eat this Passover with us. And he's so happy that we've come. Today, through the intercession of St. Luke, we ask for the grace to have this Eucharist really deeply impact us. St. Luke used to receive the very same Jesus we're about to receive from the hands of St. Paul and the other apostles, and it totally changed his life. May we receive with the same fruitfulness, so that receiving within the King, we might burst with the desire to sing of the glorious splendors of his kingdom to all we meet, so that they with us might come to heaven, which St. Luke himself also described, quoting the Lord Jesus. St. Luke the Evangelist, pray for us.